Hi, and welcome to the first recorded shiur on Shvilei Pinchas. Each week on Shabbos, I have the wonderful schus of sharing the weekly Torah of the great tzaddik, Rabbi Pinchas Freeman in Eretz Yisrael, that he puts out each week in a flyer called Shvilei Pinchas, and the people that come enjoy it. And sometimes the complaint is that, you know, they wish they could have recorded it so they could listen to it, they could review it, they could share it with others. So in an effort to try to share that Torah and make it more meaningful for more people, a larger audience, I'm going to try whenever I can to share one of the weekly pieces of Shvilei Pinchas on the Parsha, and hopefully those that listen will be enriched in the process, as I am enriched as I learn it. This week's Parsha, Parshas Naso, has two very common ideas or concepts next to one another. Torah teaches us first about the Sota, a woman who is suspect of infidelity, of having an affair, and the process of verifying it. She drinks a special potion with Hashem's name erased into it, an earth from the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, of the sanctuary, and if she is guilty, she dies a horrible death, and if she's innocent, she has children and an easy labor and many blessings. On the heels of the Sota, the Torah gives us another idea concept called the Nazir. A Nazir is an individual that vows to live a life for a short period of time. Either short, it could be, you could also make it a full lifetime, usually a minimum of 30 days. And in those 30 days, he upgrades his spiritual observances. He doesn't drink wine, doesn't cut his hair, he doesn't come in contact with the dead. And many of the commentaries, Rashi included, the Gemara, wonder what the connection is between the Isha Sota, the wayward woman, and the Nazir, the fellow that accepts this vow of additional stringency. In Rashi, brings down the Gemara, Kala Roa Sota Bikokula, if a person sees the Isha Sota, sees a woman imploding, and he sees the horrible and horrific death that she goes through, Yazir Atsumina Yain will take additional stringencies to stay away from wine, to prevent himself from going down the bad path, which could sometimes be started by Yain, by water, by wine. The Ibn Ezra, on the concept of the idea of the Nazir, he says, the Pasuk says, Ki Nazir Elokav al Rosho, because the crown of Hashem is on the head of the Nazir, the fellow that took the Nazir vow. Kol Yimei Nizro, all the days of his Naziruth, Kodesh Lashem, he's holy to Hashem. Says the Ibn Ezra, very profound words, and Rabbeinu Bachya says something similar. He says, Ki Kol Bnei Adam Avadim Tavos Olam. Every person is a slave to their animal temptation, to their base temptations, to their lusts and their desires. He says, and somebody who's in control, that's able to curb their enthusiasm, they're able to overcome their tivus, their lusts and their desires, literally, he says, they have a crown, an adornment of malchus, barosham, in their heads, on top of their heads. So somebody who's able to free themselves from the shackles of taiva, they're truly a king. Everybody else is servants or slaves. And Ibn Ezra himself says that that's why it says in the words, Ish ki yafli lindar neder. If a man will simply try to, simply translate it, express his neder, his vow, but the word yafli could also be from the Hebrew word pela, which means it's a wonder. He says it's a wonder when you find a person who's able to control their temptations and their desire, who rules their wants and their needs, and not that their wants and their needs rule them. The Shvilei Pinchas brings the pasuk in Bereishis after the creation of Adam and Chava. Hashem commands them, and Hashem says, "Pruur vu, be fruitful, multiply, milu es haaretz v'kiv shua, fill the world, conquer it, or do b'digas hayam, and rule the different areas of life in this universe that we're a part of." And he explains that the concept of the idea of v'kiv shua, of conquering, is like ezehu givar akovesh es yitzra, who's a strong person, one who's able to suppress, able to conquer his yetzer, his evil inclination. So the purpose of a person, the initial command that Hashem gave us about our existence in this world is conquer it. Rule over your taiva. You be in charge. Don't be a servant. Don't be enslaved to your temptations and your desires. And later in the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki li b'nei Yisrael avadim. Avadayim. The Jewish people are my servants. They're my, they worship me. And like the Gemara says, Avadai v'lo avadim la'avadim. They are the service, the subservience that we show is only to Hashem, not to our whims, our desires, our temptations, our lusts. That's not how a Jewish person is supposed to live. And the perplexing Mishnah And Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Ein lecha ben chorin ela misha osik b'Torah." The only person that is truly free is one who is involved studiously in Torah study, in Torah living, in Torah learning. What does that mean? Isn't the Torah so much more restrictive? We can't eat what we want. We can't go where we want. Can't do what we want. So what does it mean that true freedom is only a person who has a lifestyle of Torah? But that's the exact answer. The answer is that through Torah observances, a person learns to control their temptations, to control their desires, and they are the only ones that are truly free, not shackled by so many addictions and all kinds of tithes that lure a person away from their tafles, their purpose in their life. Someone told me recently that, you know, they saw a non-Jewish African-American woman with a little 3 or 4 year old in her shopping cart, and the child was making the mom crazy to buy it some type of candy or chocolate or gum or something like that. And all of a sudden, in exacerbation, the mother says, "Honey, you can't have that. It's not kosher." So this person, a Jew, goes over and says, "Ma'am, are you Jewish? You keep kosher?" She goes, no, I'm not Jewish. I don't keep kosher. But I see all the Jewish women in the store. When they tell their child it's not kosher, the child all of a sudden is quiet. I figured I'd try it on my child too. Conscious. That's just one small example of the chairs of the freedom that a Torah lifestyle should help a person where we get in control of our eating habits. Is that not perhaps the single greatest thing that people are enslaved to in the country that we live in? Isn't obesity and overweight a national or even a global problem? That's cheres, that's freedom through a Torah lifestyle. As the Kadosh Baruch Hu writes, the Gemara says, "Baras the Yetzirah," says Hashem, "I created an evil inclination, but I created Torah, Tavlin, the Torah is the antidote, because that's what gives us true cheres, true freedom." And he explains that that's what the pasuk means when it says, "Kinezer Elokav Arosha," the crowd of Elohim, of God, is on this person. He says, you know, we know it's famous that the word Elohim is the same gematria, the same numerical value as the word Hateva. Exact same numerical value, the nature. He says that's what it means. Nezer Elokav means a person who has a crown of true freedom, where he's conquered his base instincts, his natural instincts. He rules over nature, and nature doesn't rule over him. That's a nazir, a person who lives his life on a higher level, on a higher platform. As we've seen the Gemara says, "Man Malki, who are the true kings, Rabbanan?" And it brings a pasuk, "Bei Melachim Yimlochu." And as the Gemara says in Shabbos, "Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim," all Jewish people are royalty. Every person, no matter what their background, no matter what their social infrastructure, every person is capable of being in control of themselves and being a true free person, a true melech, a true king. And the Alshich HaKadosh says something extremely amazing. The Alshich writes that a nazir is not allowed to contaminate, to come in touch with a dead body. No dead body, not even the dead body of a close family member, like a parent or a child. The only other person in the Jewish nation that has the same restrictions, we can't come in contact with a dead person, is the Kohen Gadol, is the high priest. Says the Alshich, every person has the ability, usually for a short period of time, not a sustained period of time, to upgrade the stringencies of their life, upgrade the spiritual level that they're living on, the Madrega HaRuchani, and they themselves can become Kohen Gadol for a month, Kohen Gadol for a year. And they can live on a higher plane, the plane of the Kohen Gadol, of the high priest. We see that by the Kohen Gadol, it says exactly the same words, "Ki nezer shemen mishchas elokav," because the crown of the anointed oil of God is on him. Nezer elokav, same words that we see by the Kohen Gadol, we see by the Nazir, because a person can become like a Kohen Gadol by accepting upon themselves the Nazirite vow. And you can even say that perhaps the Kohen Gadol is on a lower madriga, on a lower level, because the Kohen Gadol, like the pasuk says, it's because of this special holy anointed oil that he has on him. That's kind of the crown. That's where he gets his holiness or his kedusha. But the Nazir, he accepts it just upon himself through zehirus, through meticulousness, and trying to make sure that he's able to live his life on a higher plane. Perhaps he's even on a higher level than the Kohen Gadol. The Shalach Kadosh says something incredible about creation. In the initial story of creation, Adam HaRishon, Adam and Chava, God commanded them that they can eat from any tree in the entire garden. However, Mipri Eitz Hadas, from the tree of the fruit of the tree of life, that they are not permitted to eat from. Now, what was that tree? Falsely, most people assume that it was an apple. And my theory is that that's why If you take a look at the Apple phone or the iPad or whatever it is, there's the apple with a bite out of it. That symbolizes the sin of Adam, the chet of Adam Arishon. I actually have even said in the past that, you know, I wonder if the tree had iPhones on it. And Hashem said to Adam and Chava, don't take it. And Chava couldn't control herself, so she took it, and eventually she gave it to Adam. But regardless, it certainly was not an apple. What was it? So one of the opinions in the Gemara was that it was a gefen. It was a grapevine. And Shalach Kadosh writes, Api Kabbalah, that Chava took the grapevine, she squeezed the grapes out, and she made Adam wine. Adam drank the wine, and then everything else is history. Because he drank the wine, eventually death came to the world. Says the Nazir, says the Shalach Kadosh, look at the Nazir. What are two of the restrictions that the Nazir has? Number one, says the Shalach Kadosh, he can't come in contact with a dead person. Because of Adam's drinking wine when he wasn't supposed to, death came to the world. The Nazir can't come in contact with the dead. What else was the catalyst or the cause for Adam's sin? Wine. The Nazir can't drink wine. A person that becomes a Nazir is trying on some level to rectify the chait of Adam HaRishon, the sin of the first man, by restraining from being in death, by making sure that he doesn't take the wine. This gives a person, brings him into a gather, into the parameters of Adam HaRishon before the sin. If you look carefully in the Torah says that after Adam and Chava sinned, God made them kasnos or. He made them clothing of skin. And the commentaries point out that initially they were kasnos or, clothing of light. Or can be spelled aleph vav resh. And later it was kasnos or, it was clothing for their skin with an ayin. Before the sin of Adam HaRishon, mankind didn't need clothing. The body was perfect. It was perfectly intertwined with the soul. It was kasnos or, it was a radiance of spirituality that covered them. But after the sin of Adam HaRishon, drinking from the forbidden wine that they were not supposed to drink from, according to the Shalach Kadosh, what happened to Adam HaRishon? He was lowered to the level of a zar. A zar is a person that's a non-kohen, until Aaron came along. And Aaron was supposed to rectify in a certain level the sin of Adam HaRishon. And by being anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, the oil that represented the kasnos, or the